Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Kind of. Josh and Lance in today as Fred and A.J. are on their way back from London. Speaking of England, here's a smooth transition for you. The Beatles. World-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodall. Is it Goodall or Goodall? Goodall? Like Goodell? But with an A instead of an E. Howard Goodall, I think is how you'd say it, is coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius of the Beatles. One-of-a-kind event will take place Monday, December 16th at the beautiful George Theater. Thanks to St. Luke's Music and Friends, Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors open at 6:30. Includes light bites. So what would a light bite be? Like a little, one of the little hot dogs on a little stick, like a toothpick?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe a mushroom.
What's your favorite like a cap light of mushrooms? Bite? Like a light bite at like a little cocktail hour.
Beef ribs. That's my favorite. That's light. It can be.
You're like the Beverly Hillbillies. You got your napkin in your shirt. Like we're going to the cement.
It can be if you only eat half of it.
But the doors open at 6:30. And it includes light bites before and after Goodall's presentation. Plus a Q&A with Ken Hoffman, who I guess just knows about everything. Perhaps Houston's biggest Beatles fan. I didn't know he was the Houston's biggest Beatles fan.
Oh, Ken Hoffman is a monster.
This is an exceptional, rare opportunity. The first time Goodall has given his presentation on the Beatles in the United States. And tickets are on sale at sportsmap.com. Here's an unpopular opinion, and maybe not the best opinion to have coming out of that read.
Right.
I don't like the Beatles. I don't dislike the Beatles.
I knew what was coming.
Let me be clear. I don't dislike the Beatles. But, like, Lennon is the one I don't get. Like, I totally get the Paul McCartney and the silly love songs and Wings. I totally get Paul McCartney. I don't understand the John Lennon hype. His music is mostly boring. Tell that to Ken Hoffman. Where are you at, Ken Hoffman? I find John Lennon to be boring. What? Tell me a Beatles. Tell me a Beatles song.
I wasn't a big Beatles fan.
See that? Well, tell me a Beatles song you like. Like I like a little. I like a little Twist and Shout. A little Ferris Bueller action there. I like that. A Hard Day's Night. Like I like those. But see, here's what I don't like. See, if you go back to the '60s with the Beatles, and you say
Penny Lane. That's what I like.
I couldn't tell you that their songs even suck. Like, I couldn't find one that I'd go, boy, that's a terrible song.
No.
They're all fine.
They didn't land for me necessarily.
But
I didn't come up loving it. Yeah, I didn't come up loving it.
Like, there are generational people that love Led Zeppelin. I couldn't care less about Led Zeppelin. Let me tell you who your boy likes. Your boy likes Survivor. That's who I like. And I like a little Night Ranger. That's who I like. Those are my bands. Night Ranger, little Survivor, little Sammy Hagar. I prefer Hagar over David Lee Roth.
Oh, you like Van Hagar better than Van Halen?
Sammy Hagar may be my favorite musician of all time. And he's a great entrepreneur, and he seems like the nicest guy ever. And I love Van Hagar. I love solo Hagar. I am a big Hagar guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and again, it doesn't mean I dislike David Lee Roth. It means I prefer Van Hagar.
I preferred Van Halen than Van Hagar.
No, that's fine. Yeah. We don't have to fight over this. This
no.
is not Twitter.
I wasn't a big Van Halen person either. So
yeah.
Take that for what it's worth. So let me ask you on this. I had another question. God, I can't remember.
I'm here to answer.
Let me get
to someone on the phone.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then,
yeah.
Then we'll get to some Trump here. Let's see here. Give me Lotto. Lotto, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas?
Yo.
I was commenting on one of your conversations you were having about the Houston athlete. I was thinking Gerald Green to get on somebody.
That's what I was thinking.
I think that's mythical, though. I think we look at Gerald Green see like the tattoos and we see the Rocket logo on his hair and we think, this is a pipe-hitting cat. And he's going to go out there and do business. I don't know that I believe it, though. Like, because he also doesn't seem like the kind that would get sassy on social media. And that's the important part of this question, is social media. So do you think Gerald Green would go to social media and threaten to kill somebody like what's-his-name did from the Browns today?
But anytime that you put that Anytime that you put that.
And what exactly
look, here's the video of him. Maybe you forgot this. Where he defends Chris. Chris Paul. Chris Paul flopped.
Which is the last time that anybody here defended Chris Paul because they now hate him.
Probably so. I didn't hate Chris Paul.
Well, here's the thing, though. The Rockets now do because he doesn't play there anymore. And if you're the Rockets and you're there, you're going to be the guy that takes them to the championship. And once you leave, you're just a guy that just couldn't fit in.
See, you have to be unhinged to go on Twitter in public and say what Jermaine White.
Oh, I totally agree.
You got to be unhinged.
And he's obviously not in a good place right now. But if there was one athlete in Houston that I feel were capable just of social media, where you really, you don't have to actually fight somebody. It's just going to social media and you would threaten to kill somebody or threaten to fight somebody. To me, McCullers is the answer because I see him on social media all the time. And here's the other thing that's key in this. Lance searches himself, and it's pretty obvious because he'll find himself, like, I'll see threads.
How do you know this?
Here's why I know it. Because he pops up in a bunch of threads that don't have him added in them. So there's no doubt that McCullers searches himself. So when he searches himself, like, he'll pop up in some random dude or some random media guy. Like, a random media guy will say, Lance McCullers didn't do well here. And then he didn't add him. It was just Lance McCullers. And then out of the blue, Lance McCullers steps up and, like, will quote tweet it and start talking trash to this guy. He clearly, first of all, we've all Twittered ourselves at some point. That sounded sexual. And it didn't intend to sound sexual. But we've all Twittered ourselves at some point, right? Some of us more than others because we have a lot of time on our hands because we haven't worked in 8 months. But we
Nothing but good can come out of searching out tweets about yourself.
I don't even have Twitter on my phone. Like, I can't look at it because it's just, it's mostly hate. So my wife,
you're getting about a 50-50 split. Well, that's on good. Twitter today.
We're doing the job. We're doing 50-50, right? But see, my wife has Twitter on the phone. So if I ever need to retweet something or look something up, I'll use that. Because if not, I'll sit there like an addict and stay on it all day and fight with people. And I don't want to be a guy that sits on Twitter for days of my life just fighting people. That is not that, like, I look right. Like, you look like, you don't look cool doing that. Like, I would tell that to Lance. I'd say, if I were talking with him, I'd say, Lance, you're a guy that pitches for the Astros. You're a pretty successful guy, got a good looking wife. You help the dogs. Does it really matter what these dopes are saying about you on Twitter? Does it really matter? Big picture. Like, I think people take that stuff very serious. Like, Julia Morales had a long post. Julia, of course, from the Astros TV. And I think she's a fine person. Like, we had her in the studio at 790. I think she's a very nice person and does a very good job. But Julia had this long post where she was critical of Astros fans because they were critical of A.J. Hinch. That's why she was critical. It was, oh, this like people would, I guess, be angry about the Astros, which, by the way, you have a right to be. See, there's a hypocrisy, and I know I'm kind of all over the place here, but it kind of led to this with social media. Here's a problem I have. You get these teams, and they want you to be invested, and they want you to spend thousands on season tickets. And when you go to the games, they want you to spend $15 on a beer, and they want you to buy the jerseys for $100 and the authentics for $250, and they want you to spend upwards of $2,000-$3,000 a ticket in some cases for playoff and World Series tickets on the secondary market. And when they win, they want you to be at the parade and celebrate. But when they lose, it becomes... Yeah, well, you guys take this stuff way too seriously. It's just a game. Guys, it's just entertainment. No, if you can't, if you're going to treat it like it's something far more serious than entertainment when you're winning, then it has to be treated the same when you lose. So when I saw Julia kind of post this diatribe about how, you know,
Where was this? It must have been on Instagram.
I think it was on Instagram.
It's got to be Instagram. Yeah, it's not on Twitter. I can't find it on Twitter. I think I might have it
because I thought to myself, Josh, you might talk about this today. And I don't know if I have it or not. But I can tell you that Julia Morales had posted about that. And I don't get it. I get it. You work for the team and you see people being angry and you know the guys. Listen, A.J. Hinch bombed in the seventh inning of that game. You can tell me whatever you want.
He
bombed. And the way he bombed was not because he put in Will Harris. He bombed because he took out Zach Greinke. Let me ask you this, Lance. You've been around a long time and you've seen the guys from Randy Johnson here to Lima and on down the line. Clemens, Pettit, you've seen them all. In what universe does a guy who's given up two hits – through 7 1/3 innings in 80 pitches, in what universe is it? Yeah, we got to get him out of here right now. He basically was one strike call that should a ball that should have been a strike away from being in a 2-2 count with the previous hitter, and then he lost him. But in what universe do you spend that money at the deadline on that guy to go to Will Harris in the seventh inning?
So
in what world?
I was very disappointed because you, if you just was, if you were just, and clearly going against that lineup for the third time in the game, I think spooked this heavily analytics-driven team.
Because all these fans now believe this. They're like, the third time around is going to be tough. No, you don't know that.
Listen, he was in a rhythm and a role that where he was getting soft contact balls. That is so hard to do. He was in such a rhythm. He gave up a home run to really the best hitter in the whole series, mm-hmm. Anthony Rendon.
And that's the MVP of the NL going to be. So that's no crime in that. The guy launched could've when he made a mistake.
Could have been the MVP of the whole World Series. Yeah. And then the other guy that could have been the MVP of the World Series, Juan Soto, was next. He got behind 3-1 because they missed the strike two count. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what? I'm not giving in and giving him a pitch to hit. That was, you were past the most dangerous element of the lineup.
And that's why, if they just would have, in the series, by the way, you talk about a boring series. I know it went 7 games, but 6 of them were out of contention by the 9th inning. They were boring games. But when you look at that particular play, you can't, and that decision, you can't tell me that somehow A.J. Hinch is above reproach, or you can't criticize that. Why did you get Greinke? We sat here all year going, 3 aces, great news, 3 aces. How can you sign him or trade for him in that situation
right.
and then go to Will Harris, who you acknowledged earlier in the week was probably gassed? Mm-hmm. So he's not above reproach. He can be criticized. It's not wrong to criticize people. If we can stroke them when they win, criticize them when they lose.
Yeah, AJ did not have a good game.
He didn't. Bad. And Greinke, if he stays in, I thoroughly believe they win the World Series. Despite how mediocre that series was, they would have won the World
Series.
To
me, you stick with Greinke, then you come with Cole if you need to, and the energy level of the stadium would not be puckered buttholes. It would have been tremendous.
Correct.
Up with like, oh, here comes the hammer.
Correct.
And that lends itself to the lineup, to the fan base, to the energy on the field.
I agree.
And they don't have it. They didn't have it.
They bombed that one. I mean, guys aren't going to hit sometimes, but for that situation to work out that way.
I'm an AJ fan, but let's just be real about it. That was not his finest moment.
And don't tell me not to be angry about it because they had a great year. No, they failed. They should have won the World Series, and they failed this year. It happens. More after this.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
The guys are out. They'll be here tomorrow, right? They'll be back tomorrow to make some radio. They were in London. It's Josh and Lance today. So Trump welcomed the Nationals, the ones who wanted to go, which it seems like most of them, other than Sean Doolittle, who evidently is like super woke. And for what it's worth, like I used to get on the air and say, I think you should always go to the White House, even if you don't like the president. I guess I've hit a point in my life where certain things I just don't care about. If you want to go to the White House, go to the White House. If you don't want to go, don't go. I don't think it makes you a bad teammate. I don't think it makes you a bad person. Some people might be turned off by it that you didn't go because you don't like Trump or you didn't like Obama. I don't care. Like, do you believe the team? Do you believe guys on the team view it as some sort of disrespect because you didn't go to the White House?
No.
No. I'll tell you what's more disrespectful is what the junk that Garrett Cole pulled after Game 7 where he said, I'm no longer part of this team. I get what he's doing. Like, to me, and I don't even care about the
hat.
What
do you think he's doing?
He's just, you know, he's basically sending the F.
You know what I think?
I think he was ticked at AJ to tell you
the truth. I think he was pissed off. I think he was really pissed off acting in the moment because he thought he was getting in a game. He didn't. He knows that may be my best and only chance to win a World Series.
Well, if he goes to Anaheim, it will be. He's just going to take the money. Yeah. He's going to be like Pujols and a long line of other guys that are going to go to Anaheim and get rich and win nothing. So yeah.
And I think maybe he's also a little ticked off that potentially he doesn't believe the Astros are going to make any kind of a substantial or real offer. And maybe he thinks that they haven't even negotiated. It's something like, well, I guess they don't want me. But here's the thing. I think there's also a chance that the Astros and obviously Jim Crane potentially believe that Scott Boras could use them as a pace horse to do nothing more than push push the number for the Angels.
Like, and, but
and
the
who
whole
wants
year,
to be that? Who wants to do that?
No,
you already did
that.
It with Carlos Beltran one time when the Mets got him.
Like, so you, I get why they come out publicly and say they're going to try for Cole because he's very popular right now. He was their best pitcher, and he's going to win the Cy Young, and I get it. But I would tell people this. If you want to spend
you think he's going to win the Cy Young?
I think he should. I would take him over Verlander.
I would too, but when it was all jumping off,
mm-hmm.
The favorite was Verlander. Now it would look really bad. Mm-hmm. Now, this is why Major League Baseball, you have to get your votes in because it is a regular season.
Yeah.
However,
which is
I almost
too.
Wonder if Major League Baseball would go, I mean, no one actually knows what the votes. We could manipulate these votes and get Cole over
He should.
Verlander.
And listen, Verlander was good, but when you watch Verlander in the playoffs, one the same guy, and I'm not even talking about the World Series where he's 0-6 in his career and all that. Yeah. Just overall, I never felt Verlander at any point in the postseason was dominant. I felt that there were two situations where I really felt the Astros were dominant pitching-wise. For the most part, outside of Game 1 of the World Series, anytime Cole would pitch, and in Game 7 when Greinke was dealing. Like, I felt these guys are untouchable. Outside of that, I never felt that someone was dominant, really, in that series. So, and I think Strasburg had his moments in that series. Obviously, he was very good. Scherzer wasn't. I mean, he was lucky to get through 5 twice and still keep them in the game. But as far as the Cy Young goes, I would probably go with Cole. You know, if they split it, I'd go, they're not going to. But if it was a co-Cy Young, I'd go, okay, they were both great. It's a regular season award,
great,
and that's
yeah.
how you judge it. So, but I don't believe they're ever going to spend $250 million on a pitcher. And as we talked about earlier, why would you? Look at the teams that spend stupid money and look right. where they are. Then look at the teams that win. And to me, the biggest factor, then we'll get to this Trump audio, the biggest factor in all of that is Strom. He's this miracle worker that kind of takes guys that kind of have, they have the mold there already, right? That they've got the pieces to be successful. They just haven't found the right battery, I guess, you know?
But
and he's able to take those. Now, can you survive that way forever? I mean, obviously they take value in having big timers because they've got two guys that are going to go to the Hall of Fame still
right.
at the top of their rotation. But like, could they survive with the rotation they have? If it's McCullers, I think they need one more solid arm. I don't think they need another rock star because they've proven that they can take a solid arm and turn a solid arm into a very good arm. So I don't need Cole. I mean, it sucks to lose Cole. I don't need him. I don't need Scherzer. I feel I can win without those guys.
I do think that, for as much as Strom is that important, and I totally agree with you, it's also their ability to find the spin rate guys, to find the guys that they know can be molded. Like, they've clearly figured out through their analytics, these are the type of guys. And I remember when I was back at 790 and the Astros were bad and they were figuring things out. And I remember Mark Appel, they moved him up from A-ball where he wasn't pitching well to AA, or maybe it was AA to AAA, but he hadn't been pitching well. And they talked about, and I remember it now, it makes sense. At the time, they were talking about their analytics,
yep.
and there are certain things that show from an analytics standpoint that he's ready with some technology. That was spin rate that they were talking. That was clearly had to have been spin rate. And what they figured out is, give us a guy who can do certain things with the baseball right now, and we'll be able to make it even better.
Yeah.
As long as you have this, this, this. They have figured that out better than anybody else.
And maybe Wade Miley doesn't fit that mold, but look at what they did with Wade Miley. I mean, outside of
had
September, he cratered, obviously, in September. And
yeah.
to me, that was one of the biggest detriments, other than not hitting in the entire postseason, was that Wade Miley wasn't able to go for you in a game 4, so it kind of altered what you had to do with the bullpen, et cetera. I think that was to their detriment. But they did it. They lose Keuchel, who made, I think, prorated like $17 million or something, $13
right.
million this year. And they got Wade Miley for $2.5-3 million, whatever that number was. And he was great through 5 months. So they're very good at that. Now, if you can find the right deal for the right price, do it. You know, that's why they paid Bregman. That's why they paid, who am I thinking of too? They paid Bregman and Altuve.
Altuve, yeah,
and
Springer.
Altuve, you know, they pay these kind of guys. But you don't want to get into the business of $250 million deals because if that tanks, look at Anaheim. Pujols, they signed him to a $10 or $20 million deal
right.
at 32, and he was coming off like plantar fasciitis or some injury that he's never really fully seemed to recover from. And who's the guy that was part? What team let Albert Pujols walk? There's the question. It's the Cardinals. Who was in that front office for like a decade? Jeff Luno. So he's not going to do stupid stuff. All right. Can you, should we get to this audio here? You want to hold on one more? Give it to me. All right. So let's see. Donald Trump talking to the Nationals. Which one are we going to hear first here? We're going to hear the Kurt Suzuki, which the visual is better than the audio itself on Suzuki. But you, dealer's choice. Where are we going?
It's just both of them together? Mixed into one, yeah, because most of the rest of it was just players talking to Trump.
Cool. Go for it.
The First Lady and I are thrilled to welcome to the White House the 2019 World Series champions, the Washington Nationals.
Great football team.
America fell in love with the Nats baseball. They just fell in love with Nats baseball. That's all they wanted to talk about. That and impeachment.
Yeah, look at that. He's got jokes. He's got jokes. Good
I like Nats baseball much more. In the final weeks of the regular season, you were down 6 runs against the Mets. In the bottom of the ninth, you scored 7 runs. I do remember that well.
No, you don't.
Including an amazing 3-run homer.
You do not. There is no way.
Chance.
Is this guy's got impeachment? He's got everybody breathing down his neck. He's tweeting all day. You do not remember. I don't remember that. So there's no way that the president of the United States is sitting there. Yeah, let me tell you guys something.
Yeah, me and the First Lady, we were sitting in our den. And we were watching the ball game.
You didn't watch it. You watched. Like, I love it because he's. I love all politicians for being full of it.
Uh-huh.
But he's a special kind of it that I enjoy. Like, he makes me laugh. Like in his mind, he was probably in the dugout for that game. And
yeah, I was sitting right next to your manager, Davey Martinez. Where's Davey? Great friend.
Like that. Like everybody's a great friend. And he was in everything. Like, he's the kind of guy that always tries to one-up you with where he's been.
Right.
So, like, is there an event in Houston history where seemingly everyone you've talked to was there, even though they clearly weren't? Like, the Love You Blue victory parade / dome party. Like, you talk to people of a certain era, and every one of them were there. You're like, I don't think you were there. Yep, I was there, man. Like, in their mind, they put themselves there. That's Trump, right? All right, continue.
You were down 6 runs against the Mets. In the bottom of the ninth, you scored 7 runs. I do remember
Wait
that well.
But again, also, and I,
including an amazing.
That was just a regular season game that he's claiming to remember. That's not a playoff game.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I was watching a random Nationals baseball in, you know, September. Okay, whatever. Continue.
Including an amazing 3-run homer by Kurt Suzuki. Where's Kurt? Where is he? Come on. Come here.
And then
come
the
say a couple words. Come on.
I love him.
And then he hugs him from behind, like he almost grabs his breasts. His small. I think he's Hawaii. He's American, but I think he's from Hawaii. Like he's Hawaiian descent, right?
I love you all.
And then he says,
"Is
I
that
love
him?
You.
Is that Kurt
that was
Suzuki,
Kurt Suzuki
saying
wearing
that?
The MAGA hat,
all
saying, "I love you all." And then he reaches around, and Trump's grabbing his chest.
I didn't so I only saw pictures. I didn't get to see the video. I got to see the
video. He grabbed
his
chest. It was fantastic. And Trump probably thinks he's Chinese or something. Like, I mean, that just seems like Trump. He's like,
look at this. Look at America and China coming together.
You're like, he's not Chinese. He's actually from America, and I believe he's of Hawaiian descent.
I think you're right.
Like, he's like,
none of it matters. Let me tell you something. We are making things happen with China. Okay, China loves Trump.
He's Hawaiian.
Yeah, he's like, that's what I'm saying. He's like, and Suzuki's like, listen, friend, I'm not even remotely Chinese, but make America great again. Woo!
Look at that.
Let me talk about Daryl Morey. Okay, let's get into this guy.
Like, I bet you he had some thoughts on that, Daryl. He couldn't wait to dump on the NBA, which, again, the NBA sets itself up for that, don't they?
Yeah.
Because the NBA is super woke. The NBA is super progressive. The NBA is, you know, they're the antithesis, if you will, of what the NFL claims to be, right? Or people think the NFL is. So they couldn't wait. That's what made that story so fun to me, is that they all looked like hypocrites. That's the part I enjoyed most about that story.
Doesn't this look just like a Janet Jackson?
Janet
have that?
Was it the Rolling Stone cover?
Yeah,
that
the
she
Rolling
was on?
Stone cover, or what was it?
Yeah, I think
because
it was Rolling Stone.
You're right, Kurt Suzuki.
His arms are outstretched.
Trump's coming over around the top.
He's
I gotta find
up.
That.
Let me tell you something. Now you know how all those porn stars feel, okay?
Like, that's what that is? He's, like, grabbing this dude's chesticles. He's got him. And Kurt Suzuki's loving it. And I don't know if you've, and we can get into this too. Washington's won two championships recently, and they seem to party a lot better than the Houston team did whenever the Astros won.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was the most boring celebration ever. And it was nothing but politicians. Oh, yep, that's it.
Who did it better, Kurt Suzuki or Janet Jackson?
I'll tell you, I'm going to go with the Chinese guy. I think he did it much, much better with Trump. We love China.
He's Hawaiian, Trump.
Let me tell you something. Chinese, Mr. Hawaiian.
President, he's from Hawaii.
Mushu pork. They eat it. They all eat the mushu pork.
No, poi.
All of them.
It's poi. It's
they
Hawaiian,
love it.
Sir.
All right. I'm also.
Pineapple.
Let me tell you something. Great guy. Big fan of Trump. I'm also friends with Stan Musial, just letting you know. Stan Thiemann Musial, friend of mine.
That's the man. Stan the man.
Sorry. All right, we're back after this.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
My block. You either working or you slanging on my block. You had to hustle, cause that's how we was raised on my block.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Thank you. It's Josh and Lance. We're in for Fred and AJ today. Did you work this morning, too?
I did.
I thought you could only talk like 90 minutes a day.
So I don't have to worry about it right now because you talk a lot. It's one of the reasons I'm in tip. People are like, why don't you? I like to sit back and hang back.
Yes.
No, I really do. Like, after, because I don't drink as much water as I need to, which is a problem.
Yep.
And so my voice is just not what it used to be. So it does fatigue after about 3 hours. It fatigues a lot.
Well, that used to be when I was at 790 and you would come over here.
Uh-huh.
That was one of our jokes. And we're the only show, like, we're going to be on from 745 to 917. That's what time we're going to be on
right.
today. That was our one attempt at a dig.
Right, right.
Because that was our one attempt.
Yeah, I go 7 to 9:30 here. But I stepped into a show, John and Raheel, that was – so out of respect to that, like
– But you're Lance.
But
you've been around for 20-plus years.
Well, but plus I do have the NFL – and I told Mr. Guy when I came over, look, the NFL gig – is a big part of what
I
do.
I called him David. Was that wrong? Should
no,
I say
you're
Mr.
Good.
Gal?
You're
See,
good.
I'm always like, you never know. Like, you look at a team, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was never someone that said Bob McNair. It was always like, there's Mr. McNair.
Yeah,
should
so
I have
don't
said
say
Mr. Gal
so
or was David okay?
Yeah, David's okay, but I say Mr. Gal, but I've called him David, Mr. Gal, whatever. I never said, but you never say Mr. Fertitta. But you do say Mr. McNair.
See, that's what I'm saying. I've never heard one person say Mr. Fertitta. Is there a certain age you have to be?
Mr. Crane?
Or does it cut in that? I don't hear Mr. Crane either.
Mr. Crane.
Here's a story for you about, I almost said Bob Crane. That's a hell of a story about Bob Crane, and it involves one of these tripods that I'm looking at right now, and Scottsdale, Arizona is what that involves.
Is that where it was?
I believe it was in Scottsdale, Arizona that his buddy John Carpenter, they've never proven this, but I'm a big believer in his buddy John Carpenter, not the one from Halloween, just the one from making smut films in their home. I think he killed Bob Crane. But that doesn't matter. That's a different story for when I get to fill in on Coast to Coast. Okay, so Jim Crane. So we were in the ballpark, and at 790, I could say bless their hearts, but again, it's a very lazy environment over there. And we were doing a show from the ballpark one day, and the setup is just – it's comically bad. Like, we would be at a card table. They would bring out a little fold-up card table that may be half the size of this little table we have here. And we'd be out there. No one's in the ballpark because the game starts, you know, at 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
and we're out there.
I did some of those shows with Charlie.
Actually, you know
what? I'm not sure why we're out there.
Yeah, it's so stupid. And I think Charlie used to sit in the press box, though, right? Or at times.
He did at times. We were in left. I'll never forget. We were in left center. We were in left
in
field down the line.
The
in
pillar.
That corner.
Yep.
Yes. And it would be Bo Porter. And I was just thinking. And Bo
Dead
Porter
man
would come
walking.
Out. Yeah. And I felt bad for Bo Porter. You got a 100-loss team, Bo Porter. And I'm just thinking, boy, this is what people want to hear.
Oh, it was.
No one's at the park because it's before
problem.
The game even starts.
And they had no signage. So it's not like you could go, wow,
yeah.
There's. And I was almost embarrassed to do it. Like when people actually got to the ballpark, they'd be like, boy, where are the guys from 790? Yeah, they're the guys over there playing dominoes in the corner. And it was always embarrassing. Well, one day Jim Crane is walking through the ballpark and he stops by and he goes, who are you guys?
He did.
I go, we're with the flagship station, Mr. Crane. He goes, basically, he's like, who's our flagship station? I'm like, we work for 790. I'll take your word for it. I'll come back a little bit later. We could do an interview. And that was the last I ever saw Jim Crane. Never came back. I've never spoken with him since. That was like my one brush with Jim Crane, standing in this empty ballpark in the left, in that same place you're talking about.
How long ago was this?
Oh, that might have been in the 17 season. I think that was in 17. I was still doing afternoons. I didn't get the vibe that he knew what 790 was. But
he had been doing, like, he had owned the Astros for quite some time.
Maybe he did.
Playoffs in 15.
Yeah, I didn't get the vibe he knew what 790 was, or at least didn't know who we were.
Right.
So he's like, who are you guys? Well, we're 790. What is 790? Well, we're the flagship station. Oh, okay. So I guess he goes along with the rest of Houston in not knowing what 790 is. So I think that now it makes sense. He falls right in line with them.
So you don't take any shots at 6'10 anymore?
No, I don't care.
You don't know a lot of the guys.
I don't.
Well, yeah, you do.
Well, here's who I know. Well, no, I know so. Mark. I know Vandermeer, who doesn't really work for 6'10, but he and I were there together. I know John Lopez, who's, I think, their longest tenured guy there, and I think he's a great. I love John. The thing is, like, I look back on my life, right, and I look at situations where I say I was in the wrong more, or I was wronged more. At 6'10", like, people have this idea I got fired there. I didn't. I left for Philly. That was an opportunity.
That was true. Yeah.
That's a true story.
Well, now here's what I heard, that they wouldn't extend your contract.
That's also false. I was offered a 3-year contract in January of 2013. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know what it was? My agent called me. We were in, was it December or November when the Texans were like 9-1 and played in New England on Monday Night Football? Uh-huh. Me and my wife were there, and my agent called and said,
you mean the leather jacket game?
That was the Lettermans.
Yeah.
And we were there. And my agent called and said, here's a 3-year deal. And it was a very nice deal, you know, because we had a good run, me and Rich did. So they offered me a deal. I said, yeah, we'll probably do that. Then Gavin, my boss, like a month later, up and moved to Dallas. So I told him, yeah, I'm probably not going to stay now. And they kept trying to get me to stay. And honestly, like, Rich was furious that I was going to leave. He's like, why are you going to blow this good thing up? I mean, that's a true story. And I don't think Rich would mind me saying that now. We're fine. I saw him at the movies last week, in fact. Mm-hmm. This won't shock you. He was seeing a documentary about Springsteen singing country music. True story. That's what he went to see. So me and Rich, so basically what it came down to is I knew I was going to leave. So I started doing wilder stuff than I maybe would have. Like, our boss, they had a big meeting one day and said, we need to appeal more to Hispanic listeners. So I came in that day with mariachis, and we just had mariachis on the show the whole day, just kind of like, screwing around. And we had a wedding on the air. We did a bunch of dumb stuff. And it wasn't a matter of them not offering me. That's not true at all. Like, I don't know where that came from, but I didn't get fired there, and I was offered a deal. And I had my boss, Andy, who was my boss in Philly, who hired me there. There I did get fired. That's a true story. And then I got fired at 790, but I think there's more to it. Like, Philly, I made some mistakes. I screwed up, and I think it was kind of an even thing. They messed up a little. I messed up a little. They let go of my boss. Things didn't go well after that. I made mistakes. I can acknowledge when I made mistakes. At 6'10", I'm sure I made some mistakes, but I was never really in serious trouble there. That was just kind of young guy doing radio. We had good ratings. It was fine. As far as 790 goes, I don't feel like I ever had their full support, if that makes sense, because I don't think they care about the station that much. So just to give you an example, and they paid me well there, but I probably put in $35,000 to $40,000 of my own money to buy World Series tickets for listeners, T-shirts. I bought season tickets for the sake of giving them away on the air. I wanted the show to work and be successful.
Oh, you bought them yourself?
Oh, yeah. I bought
a fool.
I know. I'm a moron. When I look back on it now, I'm like, I could have used that extra $8,000-$9,000 now. As you know, as we discussed earlier while we're talking about, hey, Josh is on unemployment right
Never
now.
Never know.
But I bought those. Every T-shirt I ever had to give away, I purchased. Every ticket I ever gave away, for the most part, they would give me some. But I bought 2 years worth of season tickets. I bought World Series and playoff tickets to give away.
I thought Mac gave those away.
Mac also did. That was because I had like 2 or 3 pairs that I bought for the World Series, and we were looking for a place to give them away. And we said, well, let's do it at Mac's place. And then Mac, as he tends to do, Mac kind of one-upped it and says, I'll give away like 50 pairs. I'll give away 100 pairs. And like he just starts giving these away. And so it kind of overshadowed, which I'm fine with, because we filled up his parking lot. It looked great. And it was awesome. But I did have like 3 pairs of my own tickets to the World Series that I did give away. So I spent a lot of money on it, and I wanted the show to be successful. I just don't know. I mean, you worked there.
Yeah, I worked there. I wasn't there at the time of the World Series.
No, but you were there when I got there.
Yeah.
Well, you were there for a couple months before that.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a place that was conducive to being successful because it's my, let's put it this way, my personality didn't fit there. And by that, I mean, I didn't work for the Rockets. If I worked for the Rockets and I were buried in Daryl Morey's man region, I think I would have been okay. It just didn't work out. I liked the actually, and the thing is, despite the fact that it was a bad situation and I didn't fit, I liked some of the people there, you know, like the some of the bosses. I liked them, and I think they liked me. It just didn't work out, and then my deal was up, and they wanted me to sign something new like 7 months prior to it being up, and I didn't, and then I got fired a couple of weeks later. So, I mean, I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but they offered me a new deal. They didn't dislike me that much. They offered me a new deal. So it just wasn't a good environment for what I was doing. And honestly, I didn't feel overly supported in what I was doing because their main objective is to not upset the Rockets. I don't think the Astros get mad about a lot. I don't think. Mm-hmm. But the Rockets are the ones that they are afraid to upset. And you can hear more about that on my podcast, the Josh Innes Show podcast on iTunes and Spreaker and Google Play Music and YouTube.
And you went after just about everybody over there, I heard. Not everybody.
That's not true.
I heard Greg and Indy didn't catch anything.
Oh, no, they're my guys. And I wouldn't have gone after... Here's a true story about me and people I've worked for. I have not gone after anybody that didn't go after me first. Is that the smartest thing to do sometimes? No, not. We can get into that, too, while we're, you know, airing these things out. I'd like to clear up some of these things that people think are true that aren't. So, all right, we can get into that and other stuff. It's the Blitz.
Every time you come around, you ease my mind, you make everything feel fine. Worry about those calls.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Josh and Lance in today for A.J. and Fred. They're on their way back from London. Big one this weekend is obviously LSU and Bama. I've never been to Tuscaloosa.
Where are you at, Honk? LSU honking or
LSU's winning this weekend?
You see it?
Yeah. This is the first time I can say that and I can see it happening. And every year I'm like, we're winning this one.
Is this in Baton Rouge?
No, it's in Tuscaloosa.
Ooh.
I've never been to Tuscaloosa, but I've been to like the last four LSU Bama games at home. I dropped $1,000 around this time last year. I spent $500 a ticket and went to LSU Bama, and I can convince myself that it's going to be at least a good game. Like, I didn't think they'd win, but I thought, hey, they're going to make it a good game because they tend to do that at home against Bama. And I bought like the truck magnets, the LSU magnets for my truck and the flags, and I drove down 10. I'm like, here we go. Go Tigers, right? I got the Coach O. Like, I went from hating Coach O and this rah-rah stuff to go Coach O. I was all in. I love Coach O. So we get there, and I'm drunk, and I'm getting all emotional. I get like, I'm weird. I'm an emotional drunk at times. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm at LSU and I'm hearing the open and they're playing the ba da da na, I get a little emotional, little tears in my eyes type of deal. Like, I get caught up in the moment. I'm like Dick Vermeil and those kind of things. I don't like to show people that, but I get a little emotional. Then they make a stop. If you remember this, LSU's a huge underdog, and they make a stop on the first possession of the game. Like, they forced Bama into like a 4th-and-20. Right. And we're like, yes. And then it all went downhill from there. And it got so bad that even though I spent $1,000 on tickets, I left with about 10 minutes to go in the third quarter because the game was so bad.
I was at the game. The last game I was at between those two teams was, I guess it was the one where Jalen Hurts, it was low scoring.
It was 10-0,
but
and
they
Hurts
basically
ran
just said, okay, you know what, Jalen, we're going to literally snap it and run power with you every single time. Was he a freshman that year?
I think so. And that was in 2016, I think.
Yeah, it must have been.
And he, in that game, I think the final was 10-0. And I think it was a 7-0 game or something going into the fourth. Like, it was low scoring.
Yeah, it was close.
But I've been to all of them. The T.J. Yeldon touchdown game where they drove down the field and beat LSU in 12. I've been to all of these. But this is the first year. And you're the NFL draft guy, right?
Yeah.
Have you watched any Joe Burrow?
So I watched him in the summer. I didn't love him in the summer. And then I've watched him, paid attention since they got a real offense.
Yep.
And he gets to spread the field out and really operate more with players in space. And he's much better.
He's awesome. He's a product of the system. Do you believe that he's a system, or can you take him? Because the system is the Saints system, basically.
I don't know yet. I don't know. Yeah, because that's one of the things. It's harder to just say product of the system anymore, because the fact is that system is now showing up in the NFL.
Correct.
So you can't just say product of the system anymore. I don't think Burrow has a great arm. He is extremely tough. He is smart. He's shown much better accuracy this year than last year. And, you know, frankly,
he was really accurate, though.
Cut out the first five games of last year with LSU, he actually it paints a little different picture. If you look at just the second half of the season,
mm-hmm.
he was a much better quarterback. Now, he wasn't great offensively against Alabama.
Well,
he struggled last year.
If you go back to last year, Georgia, they put up a lot of points, but Auburn, they barely won that, low scoring, and he just made big throws. Last year, Burrow was a make a big slant throw, basically. If you have to throw a slant to get a first down to extend the game, he can do it. Now, it feels like he can make every throw. You're right, it's Bama this week, and you're on the road. Let's see what you can do. But that said, Florida's defense is pretty legit, and he put 42 on those guys.
Yeah. No, they're real.
Texas is awful, but I mean, he put up 50 on those guys.
But Joe has been phenomenal this year. Phenomenal. And I'm just going to wait. 30 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
He's going to win the Heisman, by the way.
I'm just going to, there's a really good chance. I am just going to wait until the end of the year and watch all the tape and make my final decision in, because.
Can he be a first round pick? Can he be the first quarterback?
Yeah, you know what? I don't see. We'll see. I think some of the things that he does physically is similar to Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. and that guy was a 6th pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Although Daniel Somehow. Jones had Cutcliffe, he had a longer,
and
he had more tape.
But you look at what they did. Who were they playing in the ACC at Duke? You know what I'm saying? I think that matters. When you're playing Florida 1 week and you're playing Auburn, those are teams with real defenders. So, listen, when you look at Burrow. And you want to hear something that, like, you might throw up when you hear this.
Yeah.
So I was in Vegas. And
look at his completion percentage.
It's like 84%. It's stupid. And that's not that's against everybody. It's not like they played Northwestern State and he had 100% on 30 passes. Right. Every game, it's like 24 of 31. It's stupid. But I was in Vegas in May when I got married. And I had won a little bit betting on hockey, and I had about $1,000 on me. And I was standing in line waiting to make a bet, and I said, you know what? What are the Heisman odds right now? And I looked at the odds, and this is Mr. Homer here. I go, wait a minute. Joe Burrow is 200-1 to win the Heisman? Jilly, I'm putting $1,000 on this. And I'm waiting in line. I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to show my loyalty to LSU by taking Joe Burrow 200-1, $1,000. I get up to the window, and I go, yeah, I can't do this. And then I backed up and left. I'd be in line to make about $200,000
right now. Oh, you could easily hedge it.
I wouldn't need to work anymore.
You could easily hedge it.
And some of the places will even say, hey, we'll buy the ticket for $100,000.
Will they really?
Some do. More so, it's more like some rich guy will come out and say, I'll give you $60,000 for that ticket right now and just ride it out and see if he wins the $200,000.
Right.
But you walk away with $60,000. But you're right. You totally could, because the only guys that really have a shot are, you know, Jalen's got a shot.
Right.
And then there's another quarterback that I'm missing. Who's the quarterback at Ohio State?
He's probably got a shot too. So Justin Field has a real shot also.
So you just hedge both of them. You put $20,000 on each of those.
But here's the difference. Jalen is a feel-good story. But the other thing is Joe Burrow is the guy who came from, I mean, last year at LSU, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his games were under 200 yards. Passing.
Correct. But he made big throws and tough runs too, you know.
12 touching pass downs to 4 interceptions.
Well, and the other thing is when they played A&M, and I know it's a 7 overtime game, so the numbers are skewed. He made big throws in that game too, and he did it in the bowl against UCF.
Well, you ready for this? All so right. If you go, if we go starting at Arkansas, now that's Arkansas, Rice, Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start at Arkansas and you go Arkansas, Rice, Texas A&M, UCF, that's how they close their season.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up at 10 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Mm-hmm. Probably threw
Much
for
better.
Over 300 yards a
but,
game.
But, you know,
close.
Bama, he was...
Oh, he was awful. They were all awful in that.
I mean, Mississippi State, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. There was nothing he did against ranked teams. Florida, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
But yeah,
was the pick six? There weren't games against ranked opponents where he was good last year.
Georgia, at home against Georgia, he was good.
But that's
and
let me
that
see.
Was also because they just dominated.
Well,
the game.
I mean, you say he was good. He was 15-30 for 200 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
He made some throws. But I mean, I get you. The numbers
but
wouldn't
this
pop
is,
off
but
the
this is why
the
I think
sheet.
He's. This is why I think he's probably the Heisman Trophy winner, because nothing that he did last year, nothing I saw on tape, could have possibly prepared you for what he's doing this year. It wasn't. You couldn't say, "Boy, I really like this." Like, there wasn't anything that could have possibly foretold what was going to happen.
Except,
you couldn't see
my $1,000.
Except
I was
put your homerism could have made a you a bunch.
See, the homerism very rarely pays
it
off.
Usually
this would have been
costs
the
you
one
money.
Time.
It costs you money.
Absolutely.
This is, you could have made money.
And I can't bet against teams I like. So I may just abstain from voting or betting, but I cannot go out for a team that I like and root for and bet against them. Even though I know that they're going to lose, I can't do it. Even though I know it's the smart play, I can't do it.
It makes one of us.
Look at me. I'm a honk. I'm a homer now. Look at me. I'm garbage is what I am. Dadgummit, I'm garbage. I'm a homer. I didn't know I'd ever become this, but here I am. But I think LSU's winning this weekend. If they lose and they play a tough game, I think they should still be in the college football playoff if they went out. Find me. Is LSU, are there four teams or three teams in college football better than LSU right now? And I don't care about Baylor and like these undefeated schlubs. Tell me this. Are there three teams better than LSU? Or are they one of the four best in college football?
We're about to find out. We're about to find out if they have the
defense.
Even
if they lose a tough road game, they should still be in there. At least they played it.
I would say so, yeah.
I mean, they have to. It's on their schedule with the conference. But still, they played it, damn it. All right, more after this.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.